Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mully and Hall.
Fantastic, fantastic show.
Chicago sports talk for your morning.
Oh, man, I really wanted to talk to him.
Appreciate the love, big homie.
There's one play that triggers everybody.
Yes.
Right? For me, it was the missed tackle. James Conner scores. For Olin, that was the sprint out to Jimmy Graham, which he defended very well.
If I was an offensive lineman in the huddle, I would have dropped about 9 F-bombs when that play came in.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
For me, it was the Cole Kmet interception.
Fumble.
Or, yeah, whatever
yeah,
you call
it. It was a fumble.
312-644-6767. How about that for a subject? What was the play that triggered you? Bob is in Woodridge. Hey, Bob.
This is so exhausting, this whole conversation. You know how much I'd rather talk about the Bulls? Oh, my gosh. The Bulls are so good. They're an organization that's trying.
He mentioned the Bulls. The Bulls 2 years ago were in the very similar situation the Bears are now. No confidence in their ability to get out of their own way. Very little confidence and belief in the front office. And what happened? They hit reset. I don't want to say lucked into, but they certainly found an executive after a search. Find your football AK. Find your
and
football.
And he'll hire your football Billy Donovan.
Well, you know what? Whether it's accidental or choreographed or orchestrated, the Bears need to do that. They need to stumble upon a streak of good luck to where they find the right guy, and then the dominoes begin to fall yep. in their favor. That's what happened with the Bulls, and cynicism and skepticism was as high with the Bulls as it is with the Bears.
Yeah, they've reached that point.
Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy have become the Gar Packs of this year.
Do you like that kind of switching through sports comparison there?
I coach by faith.
And if they do their 111th, we'll have a great chance to win.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall taking you up to 9 o'clock on 670 The Score.
Okay, let's go.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That you missed me comparing Nagy to Jim Boylan. Why did you keep that out? I didn't like the Gar Packs because I like John. I had Gar Boylan. Pace is Gar and Nagy is Boylan.
Morning, Molly. I'm not sure I'd make any comparison to Jim Boylan. I'm just glad that chapter is closed. And boy, the Bulls were exciting last night.
Oh, come on.
You talk about something that is worth talking about.
Yeah.
That was something else.
Yeah, he was very good. That was his first start, and he started a little bit slow, honestly, but he really ended up having a great game. They had a great game. The Bulls are just extraordinary. I think, you know, I get it. Zach LaVine has been on a lot of losing teams, but man, he's got that taste now, and he just wants to win.
Well, I think, you know, we talked about Billy Donovan coming in, and I had to check this. He was hired in September of 2020. Seems like he's been here longer, and it seems that way because of the expectation we already have. They're shorthanded going into last night. The bad news broke about DeMar DeRozan going into COVID protocol. They're already without Kobe White, Javonte Green, and Alex Caruso with the hamstring injury. They're shorthanded, and the Nuggets come into town. Yeah. And there's still an expectation of them being not only competitive, but winning that game because this is a team that responds to coaching. This is a team that you always give a chance because of the way that they are conditioned to think that they're going to win, the way that he deploys the rotation, the decisions he makes. I mean, I know they're down and they don't have many choices, but Io starting turned out to be a genius move. 42 right. minutes, rose to the occasion, did a little bit of everything. That team is fun to watch. And the Nuggets aren't a pushover. Even shorthanded as they were, that's still a very good team, and the Bulls took care of business.
Hey, they got the MVP on their team, and the Bulls have beaten them twice, and they only play them twice. So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And we've seen the Bulls that, you know, to see a guy like DeMar DeRozan be named the Eastern Conference Player of the Week, okay, because he's so good in the fourth quarter. He is the closer. And to have him enter health and safety protocols and your response, and you already have, you know, Coby White there, and you've got, I mean, Devontae Green there. You're looking at an under, you know, you've got some issues right now just in terms of getting enough bodies on the court, and your response is to win. That tells you something about this team. That tells you something about, you know, it didn't stun me that they won that game because I was thinking to myself, and I know that they had to give up a lot, but I was thinking about last year's team and how, you know, if you think about Vooch, and I know he didn't have a great game, but he didn't have a great shooting game, but he did enough. But you think about Vooch and Zach LaVine and you throw in Lonzo Ball, like they'd have made the playoffs last year if they had managed to get Ball as well at the end of the year. He hit some big shots in that game yesterday.
Well, he's a big difference maker. There's no question about it. And he just stabilizes everything and gives you a chance. Every possession is an important one. Zach LaVine also made some really good decisions. You know, he was somebody in total command. Io did what he did. Our buddy Chris Kampka over at NBC Sports Chicago had this nugget about Lonzo Ball. You mentioned him. He had four or more threes, four or more assists, and four or more blocks. In Bulls history, the only other player to do that was Ron Harper in 1997. So what happened last night, Lonzo had 20 and 10, 10 rebounds, not assists, and you look at what he was able to do, his all-around game. That's the first time that a Bulls player had filled those categories to that extent since Ron Harper in 1997. That was a long time ago.
Wow. Wow, that is unbelievable. And, you know, I think that what we've seen from this team has been this sort of toughness, and I don't know if it comes from the coach. I don't know where it comes from, to be honest with you. I think some of it we should credit the players for, but they are a tough team. Io, for a guy that comes into the league as a second-round pick, and it's his hometown team and all that stuff, man, he's working hard. And frankly, I thought Alex Caruso might be the guy they missed the most. Even just I thought they could score, but I was worried that they couldn't make those kind of dive-on-the-floor plays. That would be the problem with the game. And that's all due respect. DeMar DeRozan has been phenomenal. He's the fourth leading scorer in the NBA. But I really thought that they were going to miss Caruso more.
Well, you didn't expect Matt Thomas to be the second guy off the bench.
That's right.
And to contribute that way. But look, I think the NBA remains a players' league. That's always going to be the truism about the NBA.
Yes.
But I think when you say that, the players always are going to deserve most of the credit. But it's not by accident that the Bulls have a roster full of guys who have the same sort of common trait in terms of competitiveness, character, a commitment, these kinds of things, these kinds of traits. When you fill your roster full of guys like that, they're going to be more equipped to handle stretches like this. And when you're shorthanded, when you're coming off a back-to-back and you don't want to have a letdown, the kind of the potential valleys in the NBA season, you're going to be more equipped to handle them if you have guys who are just professionals. And the Bulls have done a nice job thanks to the way AK has reshaped this roster and he picked the right coach. They've done a nice job of having players who are going to be reliable under these conditions.
Yeah, and I mean, I think Lonzo played 40 minutes, right, the entire game. It seemed like Zach LaVine played like right
season
there.
High minutes for both those guys.
It, was that
39
right?
39 and 40,
yeah,
I believe.
They were just on the floor
and
the whole
Io
time.
Had 42.
Wow.
But you're shorthanded, so you're down four guys that you typically have in the rotation.
Yes.
You're going to ask a little bit of more of everybody, and they have a couple more games this week, and I don't need to get out my badge for the minutes police. We're not doing that.
No, I didn't
because,
mean it that way.
No, I know, but it's like they
were
you
playing
to,
a lot.
You have to ask a little bit more of everybody, and collectively,
well,
they got it done.
Here's the thing. Like, with any luck, you're talking about 10 days, right? You're talking about 10 days to 2 weeks for DeMar DeRozan. I guess what I'm saying is these are temporary, right? I mean,
sure.
This is not like you're replacing a guy for the season. This is not a situation where you've lost Patrick
COVID
Williams.
COVID spells,
and he's
unfortunately,
not coming
back. You have to view almost like sprained ankles, you know, injuries.
Yeah.
And it's unpredictable because it could be 10 days, it could be 2 days if it's a false positive.
Didn't LeBron, wasn't it like 2 days for him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that was, I think they LeBron. Got to the bottom of that. he's LeBron, so.
He can call his own shots even with COVID.
He's immunized.
But you know, Javonte Green and Coby White are already out, and then you add a third player, and Caruso's got a hamstring. That's a fourth player. That's a lot to be without for an NBA team, especially the fourth leading scorer in the league.
And yet nobody in the East has more victories now.
Is that unbelievable?
And they are able to overcome this kind of adversity, which will be good for them over the long haul. Because this is where you start to develop your role players, your bench guys, build confidence in guys like Io. And you have, you know, Jones, and you have other contributors that may not be counted on unless you're in circumstances like these. So this is actually overall good for the Bulls to go through this.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with that. I mean, I know what you mean because it is a temporary problem. But, you know, ideally, you'd have everyone at all times and you'd be flying high.
Right. Ideally, nobody gets injured, nobody gets sick, nobody misses any sort of time at all. But realistically, you're going to go through stretches where you have injuries or illness, and you're going to have to rely upon guys – and you wonder about, are they going to be able to rise up? Bulls are rising up.
Yeah,
Bulls role players are fulfilling their roles very, very well. And Io last night was pretty cool post-game to see. You know, he was introduced as the guy, you know, from Chicago, just like Derrick Rose. And he didn't realize post-game the connection until KC Johnson, our guy, was pointing it out and had a nice little fun back and forth. And you just can't help but be happy for a guy like Io doing what he's doing this early in his career.
Did he leave that? He led them in assists, right?
I think he had 8 assists.
That's pretty damn
11
good.
11 points, 8 assists, 42 minutes, and some good defense, and that's just what he does.
Let's listen to that exchange.
For what we do, that's kind of a significant thing because most people are introduced from their college in the starting lineup.
Okay.
And for Derrick Rose is a big deal because he chose to be introduced from Chicago with the starting lineup. You were introduced from Chicago with the starting lineup tonight. Is there significance to you tying that to Derrick Rose, et cetera, or not?
That's a bonus, of course, because he's a legend and everything he did in the city of Chicago, being from Chicago, of course, is areas where I look up to, you know, his journey. But no, I just I like to be proud, you know, to say I'm from Chicago because I know the ups and downs of the city. I've been here my whole life. I've seen, you know, so much things, so many tragedies, and for me to be in this position, I'm doing what I love at the highest level. Anytime I get an opportunity to, you know, show love to where I came from, I always love to do that.
That's nice.
What a tremendous sense of awareness. I mean, what a great example, too. It means something to him. And you know, working here, seeing what's going on in the city of Chicago, having a guy like Io doing what he's doing and having that satisfaction and recognition of what he represents, it's pretty cool.
With Derek, I mean, he played 1 year at Memphis, and it was a year where they had to vacate their appearance in a championship. So I always thought that that was probably part of it, too.
That he was kind of sheepish about his Memphis connection.
Well,
yeah,
I don't know.
He's the guy that went to Memphis. How did he get into Memphis?
Yeah,
story. Okay, let's not tell that story.
Let's just say he's from Chicago.
Yeah, it's just Chicago.
And he is from Chicago.
Right,
and that was a nice way to put it.
So that was maybe something he backed into in terms of the introduction.
That's what I'm saying.
Io embraced it and didn't really realize what it represented for Derrick Rose.
But I think he, I think that they gave it to Io, right? I mean, and,
well, yeah, and I think so.
What about the poor U of I, right? Aren't they getting dissed in this thing? Do they have that many guys starting in the NBA?
I think in this case, hometown trumps alma mater. Right?
Should it, though? I mean, yeah. Last night was also Monday Night Football.
Yes.
And I've heard from a lot of different people. Some people love it, but more people hate it when they do the introductions, when the player –
right.
Some of these guys go back, like they do their kindergarten thinking they're being cute.
Yes.
Right? Like, should it just, I mean, should they have to keep it straight, or is it fun? Is it interesting
to have it
different? And I'm not, I like the colleges because I like to try to guess. I like to try to see how good I am at what college they went to.
I don't really watch that anymore because of the Manning cast.
These guys are brands, they're corporations, and if they want part of their brand to be their hometown, I think more power to them. I love the fact that Io's proud of being from Chicago, and that doesn't diss Illinois. It's maybe a missed opportunity for Illinois fans and that brand. But
how did Illinois lose last year with him anyway?
That's a different conversation. That's you being all puffy chested again.
Let's talk about
the Big Five in Chicago.
I just forgot.
Okay. Go Ramblers!
If Northwestern wouldn't have ducked them, they'd have beaten all the Big
Five.
There you go.
That's right.
That's all I'm saying.
I like Io saying he's from Chicago, even if he didn't realize why.
He didn't. They did.
He found out about it.
KC told him about it.
There's nothing negative about
said,
this story.
He
there's
said,
nothing to it. It's
oh,
great stuff.
He didn't even know.
I don't care. The innocence is interesting. The irony of him having the awareness.
Really. It makes it almost worse, to be honest with you, that he couldn't play along. It's like, what, huh?
Oh, man.
I can't believe you are in appreciating something that even the player didn't know about.
I'm appreciating it all. Because he wants to be that ambassador for the city with or without the introduction. And the introduction is just something they did for him. So it's a good story.
Never mind that he didn't know about it.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Doesn't matter.
You just like the story. All right. You know what I like? I like the 5-5.
You guys could ruin anything.
We got
really.
A lot of stories.
I mean, how
did we ruin it?
Jeez.
He didn't know, but play his response again. Play the beginning of it.
For what we do, that's kind of a significant thing because most people are introduced from their college in the starting lineup.
Oh, okay.
And for
that's the that's what he found out about it, right? Whatever. Great story. 5-5 next. Mully and Haw on the screen.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. It's 5 at 5 with Molly and Hall, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767 or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw starts now.
How depressing was the news that DeMar DeRozan has entered the NBA health and safety protocols, especially on the same day he was named the NBA's Eastern Conference Player of the Week? DeRozan could miss as much as 10 to 14 games. How will the Bulls do in that stretch?
Yeah, I think it's 10 to 14 days, right? It's not games. But, you know, the Bulls could do okay in that stretch. If you look at it, they have some games that they could win there. You know, he's the thing about him is what's the most difficult thing to do, probably in sports, is finish. And he's the finisher. He's the closer. He's the guy that can make a clutch shot, right? So I think that eventually is going to bite you. That's eventually going to be a problem. But it's not like they're starting a West Coast swing or anything, so that could help, right? It's depressing news just because you want that team to be playing as well as they have, and we've talked about the chemistry among them and all the rest of it. So, if he misses a couple weeks, that would be, you'd be very bummed. But I think if you look at their schedule, I know Cleveland's playing better, for instance, than expected. But does Cleveland scare you even without DeMar DeRozan? No, I've just damned them, and they're going to have a problem with that game. But yeah, I think that the Bulls showed you last night that they're a tough team. I don't know about going to the Heat. I think that might be a real problem for them. But can they beat the Pistons? Yeah. Can they beat the Cavs? I would say so. Obviously, the Heat, you know. And I'm looking at teams really, you know, the Western Conference teams don't matter as much. But, yeah, I think that they can keep their head above water and go 500 without them.
Yeah, I don't think it's depressing. I think this is part of the NBA. This season, teams are dealing with COVID. Teams always deal with injuries. It's a good test of their depth, and you'll reveal things about your talent level and your roster that maybe you didn't know. And maybe the Bulls are beginning to find out some things about guys they didn't expect to find out about this early in the season. DeRozan could be out, you know, two games, could be several games. You just don't know, number one, how long the protocol will last. Number two, we're still waiting to see his involvement on social media last night. What he was tweeting and retweeting suggests that there could be a false positive here, like there was in the case of LeBron James. We'll see. But I don't think that in December is such a bad thing. You don't ever want to invite this or welcome this, but you're going to be tested at some point in time. And better now than later. I think it's better now than going into the playoffs. He'll get back. He's a veteran. He'll get into a rhythm. You worry about the impact it has on his physical conditioning. And I think that's a natural thing with COVID. You saw, you know, Vooch come back and need some time to get reacclimated, and that's going to be an adjustment period that DeRozan will have to go through as well if it extends several games. But there's nobody on their schedule they can't beat. There's nobody that they can't handle. This is a pretty deep team, and I think it's well coached. When you have depth and when you have good coaching, I think in the NBA, in the regular season, you're never going to be counted out of any game. So this is something they're just going to have to deal with.
I think better now than later is a great way to look at it, because I did have like that roller coaster of emotion yesterday. I thought, I wasn't shocked when I heard that DeRozan was named the Eastern Conference Player of the Week. That made all the sense in the world, and it's nice that he got the due respect for that. But then followed quickly by that, I was kind of bummed out because I was looking forward to watching that game last night. And it made me, in the beginning of the game, made me kind of clicking more back. I found myself clicking more back and forth than I had planned to between Monday Night Football, the Manning cast, and the Bulls game. But then when the Bulls were doing what they were doing, and I was surprised, I didn't think the Bulls would win that game. I also think, you know, we talked about in the first segment about two things. You know, the amount of minutes guys played, and I'm not saying that we want to play the minutes police right now, the lineup Eastas or the minute Eastas right now. But, you know, in a weird way, this might actually, if it's only two games, this might actually help DeRozan a little bit. We've talked about the fact that he's put out a lot of energy so far. He's played at a high level, yep. Lots of minutes. Maybe this little break, if it's a false positive, it won't have an effect on his body, right? If it's a false positive, it won't have an effect. They should be able to beat the Cavaliers without DeRozan. And the other thing is, we have this other side story that is a cool story, is Io getting a start. I mean, people were talking about Io being out in the suburbs playing on the G League.
Oh, I know.
Okay, yeah. Now all of a sudden he's starting, which also leads into the story. It's really, you know, some people are like, wow, the Bulls really fell into it. It's such a gift to get Io in the second round. I would also say it's a gift for Io that he ended up where yes. He ended up. I think that helps. But it's a cool – last night was also like better late than – better now than late. Like if Io now has to start later on, he's gotten that out of his way. Like that you. I think that's a thing. The first time you started in a varsity game, right? That more of us on the radio talking, and more of us listening on the radio can
relate.
Have that message, yeah. Know that feeling, relate. So hey, now he's done that. He started a lot of big games, but he had never started a game at the United Center as a member of the Chicago Bulls. So that was something that gets him over the hump.
And if indeed there is an extended. 10-day, two-week period here for DeMar DeRozan, at least you got that done at 25 games in, not, you know, I don't know, 70 games in when you're fighting for a playoff spot or when you're actually beginning the playoffs or, you know, I'm just trying to look at a brighter sign here, if there is one, to kind of get that out of the way for him this season.
That's why I'm answering these questions right now, because I respect and understand where y'all are coming from your side.
Did Matt Nagy sound like a guy more or less likely to play Justin Fields and his cracked ribs against the Packers, or is it too early to tell yet?
That's going to be an ongoing discussion for us all week long, literally starting today as we start the game plan. And then as it goes the rest of this week, and I'm sure as each day passes, we'll have more and more of an idea of where he's at. I said it all along. This is more of a pain thing for him right now. Medically, we're never going to put him at risk medically, never. So you can mark that down.
Does it matter that it's the Packers on national TV? If Fields isn't active again, do you think the Bears will consider getting Nick Foles ready?
Well, I hope it's not a matter of the national television or the Packers and those elements contributing to the decision that is made about Justin Fields' availability. I hope that it is strictly a health and safety conversation and decision. And that's where I like what Matt Nagy said at the end there about that will always be what guides them. But at the same time, when he continues to remind people it's a pain tolerance issue, he does the player no favors. And when you do that as a football coach, I think that as a football organization, you have to be cognizant of the fact that you are not doing your player any favors by suggesting that this is a pain tolerance issue. He has cracked ribs. That alone should be enough for you to have caution and to give pause into, well, you know, he's going to practice at full go on Wednesday and he's going to be available on Sunday. He has cracked ribs. I understand, everybody understands that it could be a pain tolerance issue. It just is a matter of, and again, we parse his language, and it's unfortunate, but we have to do it. He talks so much. When you talk that much, just leave the pain tolerance part out of it, because if he doesn't play, there's going to be you risk having people out there think that he doesn't have a high pain tolerance. You don't want to create that image about a quarterback or anybody on a football team, and it's not fair to Justin Fields, because he is a tough guy. So stop telling me that it's about pain tolerance, because we probably can suggest or surmise he wants to be on the field. He wants to play. But it might not be the smartest thing for him to play. They're trending in that direction that he's going to be up until game time. It's going to be a game time decision. But absolutely, you need to get Nick Foles ready, because if Andy Dalton is your starter and Justin Fields isn't ready, he should not be active. And Nick Foles is going to be one play away from having to face the Packers at Lambeau.
Yeah, I think that this is a shift from the team, from the medical staff to the player. When you're saying he's medically cleared, that means it comes down to whether he can handle the pain tolerance. That means the player calls the shot on it, which means that Justin Fields is going to play. That's what's going on here. So Justin Fields is going to play, and you're going to have Andy Dalton as his backup. And I believe Jordan Love's in COVID protocol. So when you stomp on Roger's toe, Blake Bortles becomes the quarterback. Sounds like a good deal.
Blake Bortles, wow. Then Bears might win that game, maybe. If you had Blake Bortles against even Andy Dalton, maybe the Bears could win that one. You know, I said it yesterday, I'll say it again. Also, I saw a tweet yesterday. So I think the Bears are still, you guys will know the answer to this better than I will. I should have looked it up, but I didn't get a chance. They're still on the hook for Nick Foles next year, correct? Like they owe him money next year. Nick Foles should start this game on Sunday night.
Nick Foles should have been traded, like,
yeah, but something's
so
going
long
on.
Ago.
There's something going on. Like, he's not allowing the trade, or does he have?
Didn't they say we want to make sure that he's, if we trade him, he goes where he wants? I mean, come on.
That's a lot of questions.
Isn't that what it is?
The story was that they were ready to trade him or talking with the Jets, but he did not want to go to New York because they wanted a backup for Zach Wilson. But I don't know if that was very substantiated. But that was the thing, was he did not want to go to New York. And I'm not sure where he stood on Philadelphia, but I think Philadelphia was also mentioned. So it's they're on the hook next year for another year, I believe, of Nick Foles, and he's guaranteed a lot of money. So his 2022 contract calls for a base salary of $4 million, guaranteed $5 million. The cap number for 2022, $10.6 million.
Wow, that's a lot of questions. I almost have to look at them for a while.
Do you agree with the decision to stick with Jason Peters at left tackle instead of turning to rookie Tevin Jenkins? Does that tell you Jenkins is not yet ready for the job? What did you make of Juan Castillo equating players' Christmas tree decorating as a signal that he's heading in the right direction because, quote, everything matters?
I thought that was nuts. I just thought that was really weird. Listen, he's not ready to play, period, end of story. If he were ready to play, and I mean, it's not a surprise. Guy had back surgery. He's come back. He hasn't been able to practice. Now they got him in two special teams plays, so he's dipped his toe in the NFL water, and he's not ready to play. If he was, he'd be playing. By the time you get to the end of the season, you'd like to know that he can be your left tackle moving forward. You don't want another question mark heading into another offseason, whomever is coaching or running this organization. You'd like to have some signal that he's ready to go. And I think that the problem with this is that he's just not ready. He's not ready to play, and they're sticking with Jason Peters, and they're being coy about it. It's hour to hour. Because they don't want to admit that he's not ready to play. And there's a very good chance that if Jason Peters wears out at some point, they may have to go to him and find out if he can play. But if he were ready to play, I got to think he'd be playing.
Then that's another misread on their part. And they're not doing, again, the player many favors by activating him and sitting him. If you're activating him, the assumption is, and really it should be, that he's ready to go. I mean, if he's not ready to play, then he shouldn't be active. Shut him down. If he's ready to play and he's active, then he should be playing in some way, shape, or form. Now, I've come around to the idea, if you think Jason Peters is having a good enough year and you see the way that he handled Chandler Jones at times on Sunday, you kind of need a guy who that reliable. And he is good, and he's at 39 doing things that I don't think anybody expected him to be doing still in December. But Tevin Jenkins has got to be on the field in some way, shape, or form at some time to know what you have. You need an evaluation period, so rotate him at right tackle. get him into an offensive line rotation, you're not playing for the playoffs. You're playing for pride. You're playing to put stuff on tape. You still, contrary to popular belief, that these games still matter to players, to coaches, to football organizations evaluating their talent. You don't know what you have in Tevin Jenkins. If he's active and he's not an injured reserve, he should be in the game. He should be putting things on tape, and he should be rotating with Larry Borum. And as far as what Juan Castillo talking about decorating the Christmas tree, what is he talking about?
That was awesome.
What is he talking about?
Everything matters.
Nobody's saying bah humbug, but you are talking about your second round offensive tackle because he knows how to decorate a Christmas tree that gives you confidence that he can play?
It's about the details, David.
Oh, my God.
I will agree about all the details matter and how you carry yourself and go about your business. You're kind of always on a job interview in these situations almost, even though he's drafted and whatnot. But how many other offensive lines in the NFL do you think put up a Christmas tree together? I mean, is that the kind of camaraderie that they need up at Halas Hall? I mean, shouldn't there be some more like film study? Or maybe
they let the rookies
some
put
weight.
It up, right? They let the rookies.
Oh, so the rookies did, put it up while yeah. and Jason he did Peters really, laughed at him and poked fun
and
at him.
And he did a really good job. He had a real eye for it, apparently.
Guys, I don't know if you heard, but Larry Borum can really cook a Thanksgiving turkey like with the best of them.
So as far as this goes, though, this question deserves more than the 3 or 4 minutes we have right now to give it. If I were in charge, and I'm sure everybody doesn't want me to be in charge, but Larry Borum would be at left tackle and Jenkins would be at right tackle. And unfortunately, you'd have to make sure that Jason Peters understands that you're doing this moving forward and you thank him for his service. And if they need him to come back into a game because the other two guys just stink out loud, then he would be dutiful and do that.
Yeah.
But I think you need to.
You're
I'm with you,
him.
David. You need. But I don't. Here's what I wouldn't do. I would not put him, Tevin Jenkins, that is, at left tackle. I would move Borum to left tackle, and I move Jenkins to right tackle. Listen, if this draft class, if those two tackles solve the Bears' offensive tackle for the next 5 to 8 years, if those two guys start, I don't care which ones. I don't care that the higher
the
drafted
that?
One is at, yeah. at right and left. That doesn't matter to me. You need right. two of them, okay? It's like cornerbacks. You know what? You need two tackles. You need two cornerbacks. I know one is more prime time, but these, you know, nowadays defensive linemen move all over the field. They try to find the matchup that is more beneficial. The defensive end, outside linebacker, he can be on the right or left side.
Well, I mean, you played offensive line. You know the difference between a right-handed stance and a left-handed stance.
No, we didn't do that back then, and you still shouldn't do it, but that's a whole other argument.
Oh, boy.
Again, we only have 3 minutes here.
I respect that. I respect the question.
What did you make of Matt Nagy's, quote, 10 of 11 admission in all three phases of the Bears' performance, the idea that one thing was off the entire game?
If we can just minimize those, because that happens with every team. Right? When you win, it deodorizes it. But when you lose, it magnifies it. So if we can just minimize those mistakes, I think we could do a lot. We could be a lot better. And I think it showed with some of our numbers yesterday. But against a really good football team, that's trouble.
Is that as coherent and sober as you've heard Nagy this year? Are there empty platitudes? Are the empty platitudes over with this guy?
I don't know what he's talking about. I don't. If I want a football coach telling me and showing me how to get things done, I'm going to watch Monday Night Football, and I'm going to watch the Patriots throw three passes and have 19 yards passing and beat the Buffalo Bills on a night that the weather dictated, you know, that they needed to change their game plan. That's what football coaches do. They find ways to win. They find solutions to problems, and they don't talk. They act. And I just am, I don't know what 10 of 11 it is in the magnifying and deodorizing and too many verbs, too wordy. He needs a good editor. And I don't know where these coaches are talking and talking and talking. Do they get any PR advice at Halas Hall at all? So I'm not quite sure what Matt Nagy was getting at. The Bears need to be more efficient. They need to be more pragmatic. They need to be more practical. All those things are missing from this offensive approach, and I don't have any confidence that it's going to return Sunday night in Lambeau.
Well, in the entirety of what he was saying that that basically you need all 11 guys to get the job done. You need everybody on the same page to get the job done. And when he watched the tape, it was always 10 of 11. There was always one error or one mistake, and he included himself, he said, or one, you know, bad decision or play call, and he said, and then he caught himself because he was just talking about the offense, and he said that was on defense and that was on special teams. That the, throughout the course of the game, what they saw in film was that they were making one error on every play, basically, I think is what he meant. One kind of misstep or one, you know, it's we know the difference between winning and losing is razor thin. And he was trying to make the point that against a good team, you have to be virtually perfect. And that was the game plan going in. I don't think he was trying to put that game plan together, but I think that when we talked about how do you win this game, you had to play a perfect game. You had to get a couple lucky bounces, and you had to make sure that you didn't turn over the ball, etc. And they turned the ball over like crazy, and they made their requisite bad penalties, and they just did some things that interrupted the possibility of winning the game. And I think that's why I thought it was more coherent than you usually get in the word salad from Matt Nagy. It was almost like a realization from him that there was an error of some type made on every single thing they did. I hope the empty platitudes are over. I hope just this, you know, kind of this hope and wish period of the season is over and we can get down to trying to figure out solutions and trying to figure out who needs to sit down if they make errors and who needs to play and all the rest of it. But they, you know, it's so little so late. But I did find it interesting that he, for the first time I can remember, kind of talked about the fact that they made mistakes all over the place and you can't win like that.
But that's also a reflection on him, his staff, his general manager. You know, and so if we can just minimize those mistakes, we could be a lot better. So if we don't throw four interceptions and they turn the four interceptions into 23 points, we could win the game. You know, it's like high school football. I had to scream the plays out at the quarterback and walk halfway out on the field. It sounds like high school football. Like, you know, guys, if we don't turn the ball over, we have a really good shot to win the game today. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Wait a minute. This is supposed to be a quarterback whisperer. This is supposed to be an innovator on offense. And he's telling us, like we're five, that if you don't turn the ball over and if you don't make mental mistakes, you're going, sounds like high school to me. Doesn't sound like I want leading my professional football team on a Sunday or a Monday or a Thursday or a Sunday night or whenever they kick the ball.
You're completely right with that question.
The Bears will be on national television the next 2 weeks at Green Bay and home against the Vikings. How important is that stage for guys looking to be rewarded, be it players up for Pro Bowl spots like Roquan Smith and Robert Quinn, or future free agents like Allen Robinson or Akeem Hicks? Are you expecting all hands on deck and top performances, or is individual motivation overrated?
No, individual motivation is not overrated, and I am expecting that if you are, if you've got anything in the tank, you're going to show it. You don't want to be embarrassed nationally. You know, everyone that you know is going to be watching you. You know, Akeem Hicks has played really well on national television, just as an example. If he's able to go, if that high ankle sprain or whatever the injury is, if that is healed enough, I think he'll go and I think you'll see top performance. I think, same thing with Allen Robinson. This is an opportunity to show the entire league what you can do and to show future employers what you can do. That's there for every player on the field. And every player on the field has to be aware of that fact, that they are playing for their job, not just this season, but next season. This is an audition for the rest of the league. That's how these games work. You have a dominant performance. It's going to help your ability to make a Pro Bowl. You know, you can talk a big game and you can tell an announcer, hey, wait till you see what Darnell Mooney can do. And then you get into a game and you don't run a play for him or he can't do something. Guess what? That's gonna be the whole country watching and seeing that. If you are running a crossing route and the ball comes and it goes between your hands, then it's not that Rodney Adams blew his opportunity with the Bears. It means there aren't going to be a lot of teams out there they're going to look at bad tape and say, oh, boy, let's run and get this guy. So I think individual motivation should be more important for a losing team than a winning team.
Akeem Hicks has played in 25 of the last 42 games for the Bears. So I don't expect him to be rushing back. I don't know when he's coming back. I don't know what
– if he's coming back.
If he's coming back. So I understand that his status is somewhat mysterious, and but we are used to him being out. So I don't know if he's going to be back just because it's on prime time. Allen Robinson, I really don't know where his mind is. I don't know where his hamstring is. I don't know what his agenda is because they seem to be competing forces. His agent as well on one side. Maybe it's with him too, maybe the internal struggle. And with him trying to, you know, he's a consummate professional, says all the right things, but this injury, the longer it lingers, the more you wonder about the value of him coming back. He's already got enough good tape around the NFL to be somebody that a team is going to look at in free agency and want to sign as a potential number one receiver. Everybody else that is potentially in play here has definitely something to play for. Prime time or no television. I mean, this is still the National Football League. There are five games left. And again, I do not get, and you're not going to be surprised at all by this, I don't get how these last five games are being couched as meaningless to anybody. If you're a fan, if you're a media member, if you are a player, if you're a coach, you have something at stake every time that you go out on Sunday or Monday night. You're being evaluated every day of your professional career. Every game matters. I don't care if you're not interested. I don't care if you're bored by a 4-8 record. You know what? The Bears are playing football, and the Bears have 53 guys whose careers are on the line every time they take the field. So, yeah, everybody, 1 through 53, have something riding on what happens Sunday night at Lambeau.
Amen, David. I'm with you with this whole idea that, oh, how in the world am I going to endure these next games? Give me a break. You know, talk to me in March when baseball's still in a lockout and a labor issue. You know, how is your Sunday in March going to look then, or your Monday night in March going to look then? Now, hopefully the Bulls are still one of the top dogs in the East, so we'll have that. But, you know, tell me about how great your weekend is without the NFL. That just savor every single moment of it. Now, as far as the Bears veterans and whether or not they get their rear ends back out onto the field, okay, Allen Robinson's making basically, we'll just call it $18 million this year from the Bears. I don't think there's a shot in hell that he gets $18 million a year from any team. I don't think he gets over $12 million a year moving forward for a team.
Allen Robinson.
I mean, if you went down and broke down the roster, who would he be a number one for?
Dustin, the cap going up yesterday.
He's not going back down there.
With the salary cap rising to where it is now, Allen Robinson is going to get paid.
He is not going to be a top five paid wide receiver in this league. He's not going to get franchise tagged again, and that's the kind of money he's making right now with the franchise tag, and he's bemoaning that fact. So if I were him, I would get back out there because the longer you're not out there, you're going to get forgotten about. And that goes for Akeem Hicks too. Now, when Akeem Hicks is out there, there's no doubt about it. He makes that front seven different. I mean, I have a lot of, as Molly would say, I got a lot of time for Akeem Hicks. I like that guy a lot, but he needs to be available more often. And a guy, he's on the wrong side of 30, and he's a big-bodied guy who's taken a lot of punishment in his football life. He gets whacked on every single play. So, yeah, you got to be able to show up and get, you know, one thing John Fox that I always like to bring back up, you got to know the difference between an ouchie and an injury, especially in football, an ouchie and an injury. And is this an ouchie or is it an injury?
Are you saying it's pain tolerance? Dustin?
I'm saying drop your damn drawers and get a shot of Toradol and get your end back out on the field and earn some more money for you and your family and your future offsprings. That's what I'm saying.
But there's no Manning cast, right, on Monday again? This is the second time this year. The Mannings don't even want to watch
off.
The Bears.
Yeah,
but they don't want to watch
off.
The Bears. They've now skipped them twice if they're not there for
so
that Minnesota game.
Is that the reason
what,
for the these next five games? How will we manage to get through it thing? I mean, stay home, you know. Stay home and count your Caesar's Palace money, your Papa John's money, whoever your Hawk and Gatorade, hot dogs, limeade.
I don't know that Ford, it's because of the Bears, though. You know, do you think it's because of the Bears?
But I mean, it looks that way. I understand where Molly's coming from.
I don't think it's because of the Bears, but it does look that way. It's not a big game.
Not big enough for them. It's not worth their time.
Right.
That's the Bears' fault.
That's the Bears' fault.
More than the Mannings.
That's
something where you hope that ownership is paying attention to.
I just wish they would have gotten the connection with David Letterman on sooner last night so we had more of Dave. That was awkward that we had to kind of rush it in the last 5 minutes of the second quarter.
Yeah, it was not very good.
But I was glad they mentioned Ball State football and they gave a little pub for the program. Always good for that, Chirp Chirp.
Yeah, not many people even paid attention to that.
No one was sure.
It wasn't really expressed that way.
I enjoyed it.
I know.
And if you look closely at the picture, you saw Dave and Peyton at Ball State last year, and they were decked out in Ball State gear.
Okay. Too bad they didn't sign Peyton.
Wouldn't
that have been great?
Oh, that would have been I love the coach there, Mike New, but yeah, Peyton Manning would have been a nice addition.
All right, 312-644-6767. That's an interesting question. We should go back to that last question. I like that idea because I liked your answer a ton, David. You could not be more correct. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.